to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose. And I am your host, Edna White. I'm an author, entrepreneur. I am a all-around trauma coach and special guest by the name of George B. Brooks. He's the CEO and founder association. So welcome, George.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, that's great. So, George, how do you show up in the world?
Wow. I think I show up as a person that has been through many different experiences, good and bad. As a result of what I've been through, I endeavor to try to help people that were in similar spots. And that's why I started my nonprofit Meta Association 5 years ago after a divorce and several years of drug abuse to try to, like I said, help other Black men in my position. And what Meta Association stands for is Black male mental health. We also fight recidivism and we promote healthy fatherhood. Now, while we focus on that, while we focus on the Black community and Black males, we do help everyone. So that's really how I show up in the world as someone that's trying to improve the mental health of all people.
Oh, that's wonderful. And would you say that mental health should be a topic that should be talked about amongst men?
Oh, definitely, especially among Black men, but all men in general, because the way that we're typically brought up, the way that we're typically reared is to suppress our emotions, especially emotions that aren't seen as manly or masculine,
right?
Our hurt, our shame, things like that. And as a result, I think it's made us somewhat inaccessible emotionally to our loved ones, in some ways to ourselves. So it's definitely time for men of all races to start having those conversations and trying to get to the bottom of it, because everything begins with your mental health.
Oh yeah, everything. Totally, totally agree. So you talk about it affecting the Black men. Can you give us three myths that is bordered around the thinking of not to have help for mental health?
The first one is that, and this is very prevalent in the Black community, that it's somehow a character flaw. That having a mental illness or an issue is somehow moral, a result of your own poor judgment. And it's not. It's an illness. You can look at brain scans of someone that, say, is bipolar compared to someone that's not, and it's different. The first one is that it's a character flaw. The second is that we can just pray it away.
Right.
Now, I'm an advocate for prayer, me personally.
Right.
You have to do the work as well.
Right.
So, I
think that's important to say. I really do think that that's important to say, because even in my role working with Black women, they always say the old adage, give it to God.
Right.
But you're disclaiming that it's okay to talk to God about it, but it's now something that you can handle. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. So you know, I try to respect other people's faith, even those that are without faith. But I think the spiritual component is a very important part of mental health care.
Sure.
You also have to be, yes, exactly. You also have to be compliant with your medicine. You have to be in therapy. You have to do your part as well. Otherwise, the prayer is not really going to, it's not going to yield you the same results.
Yeah.
So the second is that you can just pray it away. And the third is that it's not real, that it doesn't exist. That's the third thing. So a lot of people just don't believe mental health is real. They think it's all in someone's head. On one level it is, but it's an actual real disorder, real diseases. These are real phenomena that are affecting our people.
Right. So how do you work with, well, I'll tell you my experience. We often have these, I don't know if they want to, what they are, but let's say, quote, allies that want to dispel, like with your work and my work, we, you know, a prevalence of Black, you know, we work with Black people. How do you work with the negative part or try to share with so-called allies that want to understand or should understand? How do you work with them?
I think in that regard, the most powerful thing that I've had is what God has given me, which is my testimony.
Okay, the story.
Usually once I tell people about all I went through, like earlier this year, I went through a period of homelessness. In addition to everything else, once you offer your testimony, people can either accept it, reject it. And typically at that point, they see where I'm coming from.
Right.
So I think that while we spend a lot of time trying to convince people to work with us or to collaborate, our testimony is the most powerful thing that God has given us.
Absolutely. That makes 100% the truth. Because, like me, I work with trauma of childhood sexual abuse. So it's real prevalent with women. It's probably all women, but mostly Black women experience it, but don't, like you said in the beginning, don't talk about it. And now let's go on to the part where, how does this affect men if it's not taken care of? What happens?
Yeah.
What is it like?
Yeah, when it's not addressed, it can manifest itself in several ways. One can be drug abuse. One can be self-medication. And by self-medication, what I mean is someone turning to something that may or may not be harmful to fill that void, whether it be sex, whether it be shopping, drugs, women, alcohol, whatever. We often try to fill that void, that hole that we have from not addressing our mental health and not addressing our trauma with other things. And they're usually harmful. So that's another way of itself.
That's good.
In terms of Black men, it can manifest itself in terms of broken relationships, fractured relationships with children, unfulfilled potential. I'm a believer that not with mental health is keeping us broke.
You know? Oh, that's really good. That's right. Yeah. That's right. It's really good. So talk to us about what being broke, that mental health, what does it look like, you know?
Right. And this is just my personal belief with my experience, until you address your mental health, you can't realize your full potential, because you'll have that intangible barrier that's holding you back, whether it be trauma, whether it be a diagnosable condition or something else. You can't truly open your mind up to ways to generate revenue for yourself if you have that thing in the background haunting you.
Yeah.
So once you start to deal with it, then you can see opportunities. I can speak to this personally. Once I started really dealing with my mental health and got into therapy 5 years ago and have been compliant, I began to be able to see opportunities to generate revenue for myself.
Right. And
ways to use that. So that's the thing too. Our mental health can be an albatross that holds us down when we don't deal with it. It's no different than having a physical illness you don't treat. I'm a diabetic. If I don't take my insulin, I'm gonna be sick. So it's the same. And we have to look at the mental health aspect in terms of the health aspect. We think the mental, we get that part, but we forget the health in the sense that it has this as well.
Yeah, very true. Those two things, you know, even when you were talking about the spiritual thing, right, the spiritual connection, even if that's not nurtured or worked on, you lose it after a while, right? The connection doesn't. And then, you know, with your mental health, a lot of my clients, I have, you know, a few clients that are you know, hoard things. So I always say, hey, what's going on out here is going on in here. So right. then the body, it reacts, right? Because it has to do something. So it reacts to what's going on here and it does nothing, right? It does nothing. You don't exercise. You don't take care of yourself. You know you're not supposed to be eating certain things, or you know you're supposed to be taking your medication. Your body almost seems like it's shutting down. Is that correct? Is that feeling
right? It's all true. Exactly, because it's all interconnected. And one thing we don't do enough, I believe, is worry about self-care. We have to care for ourselves mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Those four things. Yeah. And until we do that, then we're gonna have unfulfilled potential, unmet demand. Things like that. Because I know so many people that are living their lives, but there's still that one thing that's got them feeling unfulfilled.
Yeah.
And it's often they just haven't dealt with their own mess.
That's very good. That's very good. I just had a light bulb moment for real. That's what it is. It's that when they, you know, because I see so many people. They're like doing a million things. Not a million things, but a lot of things. And I was like, when do you have time for yourself? Like, when do you sit down and say, oh, well, let me, you know, when do you have time with yourself? That's what it is. It's not dealing with the stuff here.
Right.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
And one of the most powerful things a person can do for our self-care is, and I've just learned this over the past couple of months, it's learn to say no. You don't have to be all things to all people.
You are talking to the no queen.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do it. You can't do it, and nor should we try. We should fill the cups of those that are filling ours. And in this society, we're taught to go, hustle, acquire.
Right.
Material things, and it's not even about that, because you can. I know people that have great material wealth, or they have unresolved trauma, and that's all addiction is. Addiction is nothing but the result of unresolved trauma.
Absolutely.
And in dealing with my own addiction, I think what I figured out is that dealing with the addiction was the wrong order to do things. I had to deal with trauma first. Then the addiction kind of took care of itself. I know that may sound strange.
No, that is exactly the way it's supposed to. It's exactly right. Yeah.
Once I dealt with what was driving me to the substance,
then
it became so much easier. And I think a lot of times we get it backwards. And that's why sometimes people fail in their attempts to recover. And plus, you have to be ready to recover.
Right.
Individual. You can't do it because your mama told you to do it, or for your kids. You have to do it for yourself. You cannot do it for anyone else.
Yeah. And like you said, the healing process, or the therapy part of the process, is always to deal with the outward instead of dealing with the inward. And that's important. You know, it's a mental, take care of that mental and figure out, hey, why am I doing this? You know, what pains am I trying to, you know, heal? So let's step back to self-care. When I first started, I guess, working on self-care, really delving into it and doing it, no was at the top of the list. You know, it was the top of the list. No, saying no was the best form of self-care. And then I thought it was getting your nails done, you know, that type of thing. But it goes deeper than that, right?
Right. Much deeper than that. It involves, you know, just taking time for yourself. One thing I advise people to do is try to take an hour a day and shut your phone off and just do what you enjoy doing. Yeah. You know, if it's playing chess, play chess. But try to do an hour a day. And I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't have an hour a day. Well, then you're probably not doing something right. And it's probably contributing.
Exactly. No priorities. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to prioritize yourself. We prioritize everything else in life, our kids, our family, our jobs, our social media. But at what point do we prioritize ourselves? Because without us, you know, being whole, we can't be any good to anyone else. Or we can't serve them the way we want them to. We want
exactly.
to. You know, exactly. So There's only so much a person has to give. There's only so much a person has to contribute to people. But right. If you're feeding that cup, if you're not filling your cup, you have nothing to pour in anyone else's.
Yeah, exactly. And it also it just leads to a place of burnout in all areas. Right. So if you're not feeling fulfilled and you're not dealing with that trauma, you can go like a Eveready bunny and still the batteries still have to run out.
Yeah.
And still have to run out. It still has to end,
because what you don't want is burnout. I've had it happen to me several times. Typically when we get to the point where we really do burn out, that's when we have a crisis.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
But how can we avoid getting to that crisis?
Being honest with yourself about the things in your mind, the things that have always bothered you, maybe even back to childhood, and start dealing with them. Get therapy. Make sure you're taking breaks. Make sure you're taking care of yourself and prioritizing yourself. We can avoid doing that and learning to say no. You're not obligated to do anything for anyone. Do what you can, but don't overextend yourself. Because once you start to do that, people will take advantage of it. Be careful about who you're around. Be careful about who you associate with. And just try to take better care of yourself. Eat right. Exercise. Do those things. And that'll help avoid burnout. If you're in the church, be in church. Pray. Do all those things that we tell ourselves we don't have time to do.
Right.
How when we talk about things we don't have time to do is usually relating to us and our self-care.
Yes.
But when it comes to somebody else, we got time, we got to make time. But when it comes time for ourselves, this when we say, oh, I don't have time for that.
I don't have no time. I hear clients say, I don't have enough time in the day. I say, you have the same 24 hours everyone else has. What you're doing is not prioritizing. And prioritizing, because I was telling them to add some, I add meditation and solitude time in my day during the morning. Right. And I said, you got to do that for yourself, because that the what you say, what you do from the big start of the day that you put your feet on the ground is what's going to happen throughout the day. That's going to set the mark. It's going to set the mood for it. So you got to start there. It's really the truth. Starting at self-care.
Right.
It's the best for mental health.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, because it is very important how you start your day. I start my day with prayer about 4 a.m. I go outside and pray. Usually listen to something inspirational, read something inspirational.
Right.
Even if my day isn't great, I know this is not as bad as it could have been.
And you have the mental aptitude to handle it.
Right, it gets you ready. It gets you ready for the challenges of the day. And
yes, it does.
Our self-talk can defeat us. The things we say to ourselves. Don't put yourself down.
Right.
Acknowledge your good qualities, because a lot of times we tend to externalize that, and we tend to seek assurance from other people.
Right.
It's not the same as getting it from yourself. So learn to be confident in what you're good at. Do positive self-talk, do affirmations, start your day with a sense of gratitude. It's you really have to make a routine. And the prayer, the affirmations, the starting your day, all that's part of self-care.
Right. So I wanted to go back to something that you said I'll come back to it. I got it. I know, because that is a good question for you. But so what got you started into this? What got you started? Was it your own experience, or just you wanted to help?
I started with mental health issues about age 7. Bipolar, PTSD, and DID. So I grew up adolescence with all that, young adulthood, went through a period of poor mental health, poor physical health, and I just went through a lot. And I was sitting on the couch one day thinking about how do I proceed once I really started my recovery. And God gave me the idea to start this nonprofit. And as a result, it's been able to branch off into public speaking, writing, doing some acting, doing a little bit of everything I always wanted to do as a kid.
That's so wonderful.
I've been blessed in that regard. But it's really about helping people. And it's about just someone knowing, hey, I'm not the only one that went through this.
Right.
If he was able to go through this and still be standing, then I'll be okay too. And that's really the most important thing to me.
Right. That's great. So helping, really, you know, helping with yourself first and then moving forward to help others. That's amazing. How can we find you? How can our audience get a hold to you on social media, by phone? Where are you located? So that we can, you know, have people call in that just have more questions.
Right. Well, you can reach me via phone at 901-631-4300. You can go to our site, Meta, M-E-T-T-A, association.org. I'm on Facebook under George P. as in Peter Brooks. So those are the three best ways to get in touch with me. So if you reach out, I will get back with you, give you a call personally and see if something that I can do can be a benefit to you or a possible collaboration. So I'm always open to that.
Great. Now, what can you leave with the audience to empower them to be real?
Let's treat each other better. Let's make sure that even something as simple as if you see someone on the street and you ask how you're doing, actually mean it. If it means taking 2 seconds to hear about somebody's day or someone's having a bad day, acknowledge that and tell them it's going to be okay. We got to treat each other better.
Yeah.
It's part of treating each other. That's really good. So we got to do that desperately. So let's try to endeavor to treat each other with kindness, love, and respect. And then we'll know those outcomes get better as well.
Oh, that's great. Well, we thank you for being here today with us, George P. Brooks. This has really been informative. I got an aha moment out of this, which is great. And this brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share with others, post it about on social media, or leave a rating and a review. Also, you can get in touch with our guest today, George P. Brooks, directly just by clicking the link under the program or episode and just say send a message. And I'll be sure to get it to him to ask him the questions. You can catch me on all points of social media. You can just Google me, Edna White. And I love you and I thank you for being here and thank you for watching. Bye for now.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinner time favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on Hero.co for more information.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.